So what happens is you find out after fish processing, because all these huge fish which come go for processing, after filleting or filleting, find out only 40% is taken in for consumption. Mm-hmm. The 70, approximately 60 to 70 yeah. is being thrown. So for each and every fish which comes for processing, a lot goes into waste.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models. Welcome back to Circularity FM and our series about circular entrepreneurship in Kenya. In this episode, we hear from Faith Mendel, co-founder of Sea Ventures, a startup that upcycles fish waste into organic animal feeds. Faith talks about Sea Ventures' operational model, the social impact, and the key challenges of scaling production and securing certification. But before we start, I have an offer for you. If you want to get the actionable one-pager about this conversation, sign up for the Circularity FM newsletter. You can find it at www.circularity.fm. So let's start and hear how Sea Ventures started in the first place.
Sea Ventures saw a gap in the post-harvest losses in the fishing industry, whereby we are trying to come up with solutions and tapping the untargeted waste in the fishing industry. We saw a gap which was not targeted, because 60 to 70% of our fish goes into waste and only 30 to 40% is taken in, either during fish processing or in consumption. So I am a marine biologist by profession. So when I was in the fishing industry, I would see what used to be thrown into the landfills and which was valuable and could be reutilized for something else.
Just have to make sure I get that right. So we're sitting here in Mombasa. It's yeah. It has a huge port, yeah. And every day they're coming fisher boats yes. in, and 60 to 70% of the fish that comes in is normally going to waste.
Yes. So what happens is you find out after fish processing, because all these huge fish which come go for processing, after filleting or filleting, find out only 40% is taken in for consumption. Approximately 60 to 70 yeah. is being thrown. So for each and every fish which comes for processing, a lot goes into waste.
Just to be specific, when you say goes to waste, what does that mean? What happens?
Yes. So what happens is we do have the collection points, which is taken to the dumping site.
Yeah.
So it is collected. And one challenge we have in Mombasa, it is that the organic waste is quite huge as compared to inorganic waste. Mm-hmm. So after the collection of this organic waste, it is taken to the main dumping site for either recycling or maybe being dumped there.
Okay. So this is where the birds then get their fillet.
Exactly.
Okay. And so that means right now you offer an alternative solution to that waste stream.
Yes. Right now we're offering that solution whereby we are trying to solve some problems which we saw in the fishing industry. One being the post-harvest losses. Mm-hmm. Second, also in the agriculture sector, the scarcity of animal feeds. And also the third one being economic problems by lack of jobs and also environmental problems. Because when this waste goes into the landfills, they produce methane gas, and this also adds up into the carbon waste and also the GFS gases.
Let's look at the farmers again. You said there's a scarcity of animal feed. Is it like not enough there for a certain price, or is it depends on the region? So how does its scarcity look like?
Yes. So I would say here in Kenya, statistics which have been taken before are 60%, only 40% is achieved by producing 22 million metric tons. Kenya requires 55 million metric tons of animal feeds annually, and only 40% is achieved by providing 22 million metric tons, leaving a gap of that 3 million metric tons. So you can see the gap of animal feeds in Kenya. We require more. We have been importing, so which is also not sustainable and quite expensive. As we say that we have scarcity of animal feeds currently here in Kenya, the prices have also shot high because of cost of production, leaving a gap of where farmers do not have much because also the production is also not enough. So I would say it is a big challenge. It is a crisis here in Kenya. We are importing and we would really like to tap in the methods or maybe the processes which you could do and produce for our own and also target also the waste sector because it is going to integrate two sectors, the fishing sector by upcycling that through circular economy model to come up with a feed which can be used in the agriculture sector. So we feel like it is a solution which is going to help both the fishermen and also the farmers.
And when we talk about farmers, you already mentioned at the beginning you have certain kind of product. So what are the main, let's say, animals your product is feeding?
Yes, so our main animal feeds include the chicken feeds. We are targeting the poultry industry, the fish farmers, the fish feeds for the fish farmers, whereby we are targeting the aquaculture sector. And we are adding to the pet sector because we get a lot of quality wastes, which is like the guts, the skeletons. Mm-hmm. So we would also like to make things for the cats and also for the dogs. We have tried the pig feed, which we are using it for the livestock, for the pigs to be fed by.
When you say you even supply the fish farmers. That sounds like for a circular economist, it sounds like that you can even close a small loop there. That you the fish waste from these farmers kind of goes back into your product. Is this already happening?
Yes, it is happening currently because we have in fish farmers too. We also get something from them, whatever they can fillet. They can do filleting and also return to us.
Yeah.
So it is going to be a closed loop whereby we are not only offering also the feeds mm-hmm. after we get from circular economy model. We are also focusing on training them and do something like we do a sustainable fish farming, sustainable aquaculture and sustainable poultry farming. Mm-hmm. So it is a closed loop whereby if one as the West, we are willing to take it and they also earn something from the rest, whereby we pay for it for some amount of fee. So as much as we are working with the fish processing companies, with the fishermen, and also them, we call them mama karangas, the fish vendors, mm-hmm. whom are here in the coastal region in the upcycling of this fish waste, we collect with them, yes, but also for the farmers, we are also targeting them, whereby after they do the process of rearing the fish, we can also acquire the waste after filleting if they get any waste.
And you already mentioned the aspect of fees. So I get that the farmers pay you for for buying the animal feed.
Yes.
Do you have to pay the fishing industry to get the waste or are they paying you to pick up the waste?
So in some cases, in the fishermen, the artisanal fishermen, we try to pay them so that we can acquire the waste to give them a token whereby we feel like it is a motivation for them to see the value of waste. And in other cases, whereby we are getting the fish processors, some also give a little bit of token by paying us back. But most of this waste, it's quite valuable that you will buy it because you can also feed it. When they do filleting, it's quite valuable that they can also resell to the fish vendors, but now nobody can target in that. So that is where we are coming in. Most of this waste we tend to buy at a small amount of fee, which is agreed on the basis of how we are going to get it and how far it is. But I would say that we tend to motivate them and show them the value of the waste. Mm-hmm. So it is not just going in like we're just getting for free. Some give us for free. Some also pay us for taking. but also we also pay them, especially the artisanal fishermen, so that they can earn a living. On the other end of farmers, we tend to sell to them because the process of doing the feeds, it's quite a little bit expensive. It's complex.
Sure.
Because it includes things like formulation, which also we have to go an extra mile of buying other raw materials, mixing it, and also acquire a complete quality feed or maybe a full balanced feed. So I would say they tend to buy from us so that we can also have some money to buy also the waste.
And let's stick to numbers or relations. Can you give us an idea how big Sea Ventures is right now?
I would say we, as I give out the numbers, I would say we are not so big because we are a startup, yeah. I would like to say it. As we have been a startup here in Mombasa, we have been operating approximately almost 2 years now since we started in 2023. And the numbers have been growing each and every day. So whereby we started with doing like one ton, two tons, but now we are doing 10 tons a month. Mm-hmm. Which can annually can go up to 60 to 120 tons, depending on seasons, depending also on how the collection is. This is only subject and limited to equipment and machineries, because currently we are doing some installation of machines. We have been growing slowly. I would say it has also helped us to reach somewhere. But now I would say we are doing more than 10 tons in the near future, whereby currently, we're installing machines. After installations, we would be able to do more than 60 tons even in a month.
Okay, it's nice and good growth.
Okay.
And you also said that you have, of course, the food waste, the fish waste as one resource stream, and then you need to add some other elements. What's the rough ratio? So is it 80% of the waste or 60? Mm-hmm. So
I would say because we are using it across all our feeds, mm-hmm. percentage of most of the use of the fish waste is quite high as compared to the other ingredients. But we do a full formulation. We follow the standards required for making feeds. Mm-hmm. It's not just something to feed. So we tend to follow the standards required by our Kenya Bureau of Standards and also the requirement of our feed. Mm-hmm. So we tend to follow the formulation. We tend to follow the regulations. And we tend to follow the standards to come up with a whole balance, mm-hmm. with each and every ingredient having each percentage. It's a little bit complex. I would not like to explain, mm-hmm. it a little of it, mm-hmm. but I would say that a lot is really used because using 10 tons in a month, because we're doing a small amount of machineries. Now we are going to do with the commercial machines we have acquired. So I would say a lot will be processed.
And let's stick to the process. So can you walk us through what happens after you pick up fish waste?
So I'll take you through the process whereby it starts by collection from several points in the coastal region of Kenya, especially Mombasa, Kilifi, we are getting some. We do have groups whereby we have groups of beach management units whereby they store the fish waste. After that, we do collect from them. Mm-hmm. We transport it to a facility whereby processing starts, whereby by drying, sorting, crushing, mixing, also formulation comes in. Then after formulation, we do the mixing, we also do the grading. Then after that, we do the pelletizing. We have some which we do in pellet form, and now it is packaged and sold to the farmers. Mm-hmm. Yes, so the process just involves from the supply point of the fish processors, fishermen, and also beach management units, transport to a facility, and then now the processing starts, mm-hmm. from there. Yes.
And how long does it take in terms of days?
Yes. In terms of days, it depends on the collection. In 3 to 4 days, we are able to collect from each and every point whereby we have the points we have put in. We would also like to make it more technical and make it more like come in and bring it technology inside, because we want also to map those places to be easier for us to collect easily. So I would say it takes approximately 3 days But currently we do not, we didn't have some of the machines which were required for drying because we are picking something which is dry. We have been having fishermen sun drying for us once they get the sun dry. But for the fish processing companies, we just pick and we dry it by ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long does the final product last? And does it have to be consumed within a few days?
It takes 6 months for now. It is well preserved. You can store it in a cold, dry place. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And you mentioned at the beginning, there's also the social dimension. And you mentioned also training the farmers. Is this what you mean by the social dimension or is there something else?
I would say our process involves, we have really targeted women. We are really bringing in a lot of women because one side we feel a lot of who benefit are the men, especially the fishermen. Mm-hmm. It is on the fisheries sector. We are really working with men. And on the other side of the farmers, we are really targeting women. Mm-hmm. On the processing parts I've introduced, whereby we are going to collect, we are going to dry, we are really putting in women. The women who are in the communities, we are really targeting the community, whereby we're bringing them women in to dry for us, to collect for us, so that they can also earn a living from the same. So our social impact, which we have created so far, one in the agriculture sector, we have been working with groups of women, whereby we are training them on the sustainable farming, if it is aquaculture farming, poultry farming. So we are training them on how to do it sustainably, to make it more sustainable. And also on the other part, we are trying to help them get the products, whereby because it is scarce here in Kenya, they're getting the products from the same. So our social impact targets two grounds, the one for the community in the fishing sector, having the fishermen, and also bringing that impact on working with the fishermen in the collection of the fish waste, and also the farmers on the other side, whereby we are training them on the sustainable fish farming and also training them on how to collect and also earn a living from the same.
I really love this social ambition, and you're not the first one here in Kenya that integrates that. So just let me ask the question kind of again. I mean, you're a startup, you're active since 2 years, and you're already integrating this social dimension, even educating your customers. Why are you doing that?
Yes, why we do that, because especially in the fish farming, the poultry farming, they're a little bit, they have knowledge, they have been trained already. But in the fish farming, we have a very big challenge because as much as you're offering these feeds to them, they do not know how to run the farming, especially the fish farming. It's a little bit complex. So we, being a marine biologist, I really do understand how they're doing it. I tend to use my knowledge, even with my partner. I bring in my partner, we go train them on how to do them. Because one of the problem we are facing is that you can offer them the feeds and they will not have to acquire the table size weight of the fish to sell. So they won't get the market easily. So we are coming in to them to give them the feeds, to show them how to do it, because we want them not just to buy from us, but also tend to make money from the same, tend to earn a living from the same. Because we already have the knowledge, we are helping them to target in that by advising them on how to, what they can do. This happens after we sell to them, we do follow-ups. So after following up, we come to your pond, maybe you're doing a pond size, then we work with you. We tend to tell you what to do. We also bring some experts on the same, on the fisheries, to tell you what to do. So we feel like it's not much for us, but we feel we should do it so that they can also benefit from the same. Because you can be keep giving them the feeds and yet the feeds are not performing. Yeah. They'll feel like the feed is not performing. Yeah. But yet the fish is not growing because of the maybe lack of other essential things they require.
I mean, it sounds like you say it's not much for you, but it's essential for the for the farmers, and it's kind of telling them how to run their operations and their business. Do you charge for that?
No, that one we are doing it by our
extra service.
Yes, it is like our after services, what we can offer from our company, because the fish feeds are quite a little bit expensive as compared to the poultry feeds. So as they're buying and they're not getting something from the same, they're not making money, the next time they won't come again to buy.
Yeah.
So we want to retain them. We want to make it circular. We want to make it like something which is continuous, something which is sustainable. We want also them to earn something from the same.
Yeah.
I would really, really show up what we are doing with them. We have a group in Susa. We have partnered with them recently, whereby we even have environmental talks. We go plant with them mangroves because they're on the creeks and we tend to train them as same time.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Now we kind of got a good overview of Sea Ventures. What are the challenges you face right now?
Yes, I would say challenges are there as entrepreneurs and also being a woman in the manufacturing. It is really challenging finding all men on the room. So I also do have a partner to bring in a partner inside who's called Collins Nyabu, whom we are working together in this project. So the challenges which are there is one being capital, which is always on maybe funds, which is always a big challenge to each and every startup and maybe business or entrepreneur. One of the biggest challenge of the capital it is that we require equipment, we require machines.
Yeah.
The process requires transportation.
Mm-hmm.
We require money to transport this. So currently we have been supported by several organizations like AECF. We have also worked with Close the Gap and Vamaus Fund. So for the African Entrepreneur Challenge Fund, the AECF really supported us on the equipment. But you find out a big challenge in it is the capital to start, the machines to buy, working capital too. So money is a big problem and also a drawback for the same. The second challenge we're facing, it is the regulations and also the policies put in certifications of these feeds. So being in Kenya, we are facing a lot in the certification part. You have to comply. You have to get a lot of certifications, which is also a challenge because you have to incur for the bot of the same. As much as you're going to meet the standards required, you must also be certified for the same. This is a big challenge into the side of the government. The other challenge we're facing in Kenya, I would also say it is taxes and the government. We have policies imposed and the taxes imposed, which also make the production process also quite a challenge. Having utilities also being a challenge.
So like, are these specific taxes for this industry or are these the general taxes?
We are having general taxes, but we have also specific taxes for the licenses required.
Okay.
Buying of these raw materials, they are also taxed.
Yeah.
So it is also a challenge being on the same. But we're still doing it as we go. The other challenges I would say we have also dealt with, they were technical, but we have dealt with them as far as now it's concerned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when we now look into the future, where do you see Sea Ventures in 3 years from now?
In 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
I would say in 3 years, we will be fully settled in the supply and feeds nationwide, having good processing plant, a big, huge one. And also in the fourth to fifth year, though starting from the third year, we would really like to target East Africa and supply feeds to them.
Yeah.
Coming from the organic quest. On the other part of the fisheries, I feel like we will really have worked with them, bringing circular economy being the big thing here in the organic sector. We will be working with so many fish processing companies and so many fishermen who will work together in upcycling of the fish waste into animal feeds. We'll be doing tons and tons or maybe metric tons of the same.
I can already see that happening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's really a dream to us, and we hope it comes true. We're really motivated, and we really also want to make like an impact into the blue economy in Kenya. It's quite a big upcoming thing, but we feel like something also needs to be done. We need also to tap the untapped opportunities and do something which can also help us. The formula.
Yeah. So who are the kind of people that might listen right now who can support you on this journey? Who are you looking for to partner with?
Yes, I think our option, or maybe our say would, or suggestion would say that we are open. We are open for all partnerships in the circularity area, in the blue economy area. We are not just, we do not have just like a one specific person or maybe an organization at the moment, but we are open for partnership. We are open for collaboration. We are open for grants. We are open for NGOs willing to come in and support in terms of the training we are going to offer to offer to the farmers, in terms of also trainings we're going to offer to the fishermen, in terms of funding, in terms of us reaching to the processing plant we require, the huge processing plant we require. We are open to all. We are not just limited to any, either in partnership in terms of equity or maybe in partnership in terms of grants. We are open to both. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let me just rephrase it, make sure I get it right. You have a stable supply of food waste.
Yes.
You have a high demand for your animal feed because there's a shortage and there are rising prices. So you have like orders waiting and your only limitation is capital to increase capacity.
Yes. So I would say for real, we have pending orders as we speak.
Yeah.
We also do have a lot of supply of the waste and also other raw materials included. So the only thing we are having here, it is how to upscale this to huge market, to get into the market, to also help other people in the industry. So I would say our biggest challenge is that. And if we get people who are willing to support, willing to partner with us, we are ready to for the partnership. We are ready to work with people. We are ready for everything which is in this sector.
That sounds amazing. Thanks a lot for sharing your insights, and I can't wait to check in 3 years again.
Okay. Yes, that will be really nice. I hope you'll see the growth. You'll see some differences. We hope to have reached to the point we have said today. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing your experience.
Thank you for the opportunity too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our series on circular entrepreneurship in Kenya. If you want to get the actionable one-pager about this conversation, sign up for the Circularity FM newsletter. You can find it at www.circularity.fm. Let's drive a profitable circular economy. And please don't forget, the most abundant renewable resource is your imagination.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.